Good afternoon, and we're going to talk a little about Hispanics. It's a favorite topic of mine, and I love Hispanics, love working with Hispanics, and special love for one Hispanic, my wife, sitting back here. We had the privilege at the beginning of this month to celebrate our 39th wedding anniversary. And so it's been a blessing learning a lot about Hispanics through her, and of course through the Lord's help and experience and working and so on with Hispanic people. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:22, "I have become all things to all men that I might by all means save some." Paul visited many cultures and many different peoples, and he adapted to a certain extent to each one of them that he related to, because there's something about somebody comes along that's too different, that's too far out, we kind of cross them off. If I would have come here this morning with an earring hanging down here, you probably wouldn't have been able to hear what I said. I may say the same words, but that would have been just a little too different for us. And so I'm not saying that Paul wore earrings, whatever. I'm not saying that at all. But to relate the gospel in terms that people can understand, can comprehend, and that was what Paul did. So today, as we talk about Hispanics, mentioned different things about Hispanics, but again, we're going to talk about general tendencies. You can't put all Americans in one basket. You can't put all Hispanics in one basket. There's just a lot of variety. There's a tremendous difference in different countries and different peoples and so on. So we're talking about general tendencies of culture, and we'll mention some of these things today. But, don't put all Hispanics in one basket. Hispanics are. Well, that's a very dangerous kind of state because they're very unique. But I'd like for us to look at a few things here. God loves Hispanics. God may be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. God's desire that it would be among all nations. Is this clear enough? Should we turn the light out? Okay that way? All right. We'll go on this way. Okay, first here, you know, just a little PowerPoint. To talk just a little bit about who the Hispanics in the United States, this is from U.S. Census Bureau. Hispanic population in the United States, 1970 to 2050. Notice down below, the up to 2000 is from a census, and then from then on it's projections. And in 2010, 47.8 million Hispanics here in the United States. By 2050, they estimate 102 million Hispanics in the United States, and which is definitely make it the largest minority group in the United States is Hispanics.
Do you want percentages of
that? Here's the percentages.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You've had it right on the ball. The percentage of the population in the United States from 1970 to 2050, and again at 2010, again, this is they don't have the current census statistics there, but approximately 7.8% of the total population of the U.S. And by 2050, what percentage are they estimating? Almost 25% of the population will be Hispanic. So what does that tell us? What's our mission field looking like around us? It's going to be more and more Hispanic as time goes on. And here I tell a little bit why. Geographic distribution. Now, look, this is the next couple of slides here. This is a percentage of the Hispanic or Latino population of 1980. Notice that. Now, just kind of notice the color changes. We go to 1990, 2000, 2006. See how it's expanding. And course, the more dense population along the Mexican border coming up, and we'll see why. But other areas around Chicago, in that area, New York, in that metropolitan area over there where we live, and then Florida, of course, but then Tennessee, Georgia, and then on as well. So that's what's happening with the Hispanic population. Population trends. As of July 1, 2006, 44 million Hispanics, 14.8% of the total population of the U.S. Between 2000 and 2006, Hispanics accounted for one-half of the nation's growth. One-half of the nation's growth was due to Hispanics, and that's births and immigration, both included, but the increase in Hispanic population in the U.S. The growth rate of 24%, and this is between 2000 and 2006, the growth rate of 24%, more than three times the growth rate of the total population. That's why the Hispanic population percentage is rapidly increasing in relation to the entire population of the U.S. Hispanic population, 2000-2006, we saw a little bit of that already, 44 million at this point. Top five states, Hispanic population, California, Texas, Florida, New York, and Illinois, with California by far most Hispanics. Top five states by Hispanic growth. These are the ones that are growing the fastest during the last months. And notice these are different ones. Arkansas, Georgia, South Carolina, Tennessee, and North Carolina. All over in the eastern part of the U.S. These are the states that have the most rapid growth in Hispanics. So they are definitely spreading out. They're going before mostly in certain population centers, now they're definitely spreading out. Top five counties, Los Angeles County, California, 4.7 million. We have our team out there in Los Angeles now who are carrying the gospel into Harris County, Texas, would be Houston, Miami-Dade, Florida, Cook County would be Chicago area, and then Arizona as well. Top five counties by Hispanic growth rate. Again, Kendall County, Illinois, Luzerne County, Pennsylvania, Loudoun County, Virginia, Prince County, Virginia, and Frederick County, Maryland. The growth rate the fastest in the U.S. in those areas. Where are they coming from? By far the majority Mexican. Of course, we share a border with them, so they are the ones who are coming over in much greater numbers than any of the others. And Puerto Rican, Cuban, Dominican, Central American, South American, and other Hispanics. So this is where they're coming from. Again, God loves the Hispanics. God wants them to hear the gospel in clear, understandable terms. What will we do about it? What will we do about it? As I see it, what God is doing is we really have not sent missionaries to other countries as we should. We have so much potential for being able to send missionaries to other countries but we enjoy the United States. We kind of like living here. It's comfortable. Think about those places. They're kind of wild. They're kind of dangerous. They're kind of, you know, let's just stay home. And we like it at home. And to pack our bags and sell our house and leave. It's not easy to do that. But what's God doing now? He's bringing them over here. He's putting them right in our backyard, and he's saying, here they are, now what we do. And I really believe that God is going to hold us accountable for these people that are coming to our doors and that are coming in. One of the first things to reach Hispanics, presenting the gospel to Hispanics, number one, learn the language. Learn the language. Any Spanish speakers here? You speak Spanish? Okay, great. A little? Okay. All right, good. That's a good start. The most effective communication with people is in their mother tongue. Then the mother tongue is where people understand the intricacies of, you know, I hear people, I don't speak Dutch. A lot of you probably do. But people that want to say something and then they refer back and they're Dutch. There's a Dutch word or phrase that just fits it exactly. That describes it best. Because that was the mother tongue of a lot of our people. And it's just something about it, it's, you say it best that way. It doesn't quite translate into English. And it's the same way with everybody. There's Spanish, people have their Spanish phrases that just, that has meaning to them. And you can't really translate it exactly right. So the more that we learn, the more we'll be able to communicate with them. Languages are divided into three levels of difficulty for English speakers to learn: easy, moderate, and hard. And in the easy category is Spanish. Spanish and French and some of those are in the easy category. Then the difficult ones down there are Chinese and Arabic, and I'm not sure which others are down in the hard, more difficult category. But Spanish is one of the easiest ones. Proof of that? I was able to learn it. I don't know about any other one, but I was able to learn it, so it's not that difficult. There are lots of Spanish language courses out there. Rosetta Stone is a tremendous course. It's a good course for learning computer, sit down at your computer and have a little fun with it. And there's no teacher there to ball you out. You can just get over as many times as you want to and until you can pick up the phrases and then you type out, they say it, and then you type it out. And so it's a great course. Another thing is very important would be to live in a Spanish-speaking country for a year. If you really want to learn the language, because it's not only language, but it's culture. It's not just a matter of saying the words, but it's understanding their culture. Why do they do things the way they do? And we'll talk more about that too. But live in the country. Go to Mexico for a year. Take your family. You want your children to learn Spanish? Take them to Mexico for a year. They'll come back, the children, probably fluent in Spanish. If they're playing with other children and so on, they'll pick it up very quickly. With a tutor, of course, is good, somebody to help to teach along the way, because it doesn't just soak in. You have to work at it a little bit. But you learn the culture. And a person that will spend a year somewhere else, more than that if possible, but a year somewhere else like that, come back, and you'll be much better prepared to reach the next door, the people that are next door to you. Be able to talk to them, understand their culture, and so on. So I highly recommend that. Send people over to another country for a while. Learn to speak well, fluently, for the sake of the gospel. You know, we talk about the weather, and it doesn't matter all that much if they didn't understand quite right. If they thought you said it was sunshine and it was actually raining, so what? But we talk about the soul, and we talk about spiritual things. Got to understand. Got to get it right. Don't want them to get that one wrong. Don't want them to misunderstand. How do you get to heaven? How you can get saved? What is this about Jesus? What is this about sin? What is all these things? So we need to know it, speak it well, fluently, so we can communicate well with them. And it is possible. You know, children in other countries, children in our country, when do they start talking? What age approximately? 2, 3. There they start talking and so on. In other countries, what age do they start talking?
Same
age. Chinese, what time do they start talking? If you take one of our children at the age of, or they're born perhaps, take them to China, and they're around Chinese people, what will they learn? Chinese. Some of our missionaries we have in China, a little girl is 4 years old, I think. And she helps to translate for her mom. Her mom's been, mom and dad have been studying Chinese for, she's just picked it up playing with the kids, you know. That's the age to learn it. That's the easy age to learn it. What I'm saying is that our capacity for making sounds, for speaking, we can make any sound in the world. It's all in there. But we've learned English, for example. In English, we use about 44 sounds. Basically, to speak the English language. And so our speech apparatus just got used to 44 sounds, and that's comfortable. We're comfortable with that. We don't even think about it. We don't feel odd trying to pronounce it, because it's just those are the ones that we know. We start learning another language, Then we feel like our mouth is stretched out of shape. We feel like our tongue, we don't know what to do with it. It's kind of, you know, because we're not used to it. But the apparatus is still there. Your apparatus can make Chinese sounds. Your apparatus can make French sounds. Your apparatus can make any of the sounds in the world. Isn't that amazing what God does? It's amazing with technology, too. There's telephones. They speak any language. Our neighbors go by speaking Chinese, you know, and goes in Chinese and comes out Chinese. Amazed at how they did that. But, so the apparatus is there. Don't say, I can't learn that. Learning a language is work. It is difficult. It's not going to be easy. You're going to struggle with it. But it can be done because God helps us. We're doing it not because of our business, but because of souls that God loves that need to know about Jesus Christ. And so God helps us to learn those languages. The common joke that's told, anecdote, person that speaks three languages, we call what?
Trilingual.
They're trilingual. Person that speaks two languages, we call them bilingual. Person that speaks one language, we call American. Because we live on this little island over here, and we just think we're the greatest thing in the whole world, and we just speak English, and that's all we know. Most people of the world, in Europe, in Asia, speak 3, 4, 5 languages very, very easily. But we are one little old language, and we just only get out of our boxes. But if we're going to minister to the population that's coming into our country, we're going to have to learn other languages. So Spanish, one of those. Understanding some of the cultural tendencies. And we talk about cultural tendencies, we're not talking necessarily about good things, because culture's not all good. All cultures need to be changed by the Word of God. The Bible is supra-culture. The Bible is above all cultures. And when the Bible comes into people in any culture, the people change because there are certain things. But talk about some cultural tendencies. Again, as I said before, the Hispanics vary a lot from country to country, even within the same country, just like we do in the United States. We're the United States. Is it all one culture? Very different. Go from north to south, and you very different culture. And same with Hispanics. There's just a lot of varieties from within each country and then from country to country and so on. In Ecuador, there was a rivalry. We lived for about 10 years in Ecuador, South America, and there was a rivalry between the people of the coastlands and the people of the mountains. So the Andes Mountains range goes through Ecuador. Beautiful snow-capped volcanoes there, year-round. We lived in Guayaquil for about 4 years, and Guayaquil is on the coast, one of the hottest places in the country, where you can sweat any day of the year. And we could drive 4 hours and be in the snow any time of the year, just going up the mountains. So the variety in the culture varies along with that. One way to describe the Hispanic culture is hot climate culture. There's a little book out that's very, very interesting. I recommend to anyone that's working with people of other cultures, Foreign to Familiar by Sarah Landier. And it talks about hot climate cultures and cold climate cultures and some of the differences between those. And one of those differences is task versus relationship. And that's a spectrum, task versus relationship. What this means is that for some people, task is the most important thing. And they'll emphasize that to the extent of breaking relationships. Other people, relationships are the most important. If the task doesn't get done quite right or quite as soon, doesn't matter, but the relationship is more important. And so the Hispanics would tend to be on the emphasis on relationship. Relationships are very important to Hispanics. And Hispanics will a tendency to say yes to your face, tendency to say yes, because they want that relationship to be okay, and so they would say yes even though in their hearts they may not be in agreement with it. So that's the relationship thing, definite emphasis on relationship. Hispanics are very friendly. lot of friendliness. Very, very important. Effusive greetings. Men bear hugs, you know, and this, that. Shaking hands. Hispanics just always shake hands. You meet a Hispanic, you just always, you know, hey, how you doing? Shake hands with them. And then you get to, you're going to say goodbye again, and hey, we'll see you tomorrow. You know, then you say, oh yeah, are you going to be around? Hey, we'll see you then tomorrow. Shaking hands is very common. And we're not. Our tendency, especially as Germanic background in northern United States, we're cold. Our tendency, most people around the world see us as cold. As Christians, we warm up a little bit more, but we're still pretty cold, pretty distant. We just, you know, for a Hispanic, is in their house, and you walk in the house. You don't walk in a room without saying hello, without greeting that person. It's offensive to not greet that person when you walk past them. That's just, the greetings are very, very important. And the friendliness, all about this friendliness thing. And one of the tendencies of the Hispanic culture is the indirect communication. Indirect communication, where they will, may say something that, indirect, that something, did you see something, see that door was broken? Door handle was broken. Yeah, broken, so what? What they mean is, can you do something to fix it? But they don't say that, do something to fix it. They just draw the attention to what's there, and did you see the door was broken? Yeah. And so you need to draw the conclusion, oh, what they're really asking me to do is if I'll do something about it, if I can fix it for them. So the indirect communication, that's a little tough for us sometimes. I admit that I still miss a lot of those clues. They just kind of go past me, you know, and I don't pick up on them. Their view of time is different. And I hope to have a little time here for you to participate as well and share some of your experiences. There's two biblical words that are used for time. One is kairos, and the other is chronos. Chronos has to do with what? Guess on that one. Chronology. Clocks. And we love our clocks. We have clocks. There's a clock back there. It tells me how my time is going. And I wear my clock here so I can keep on time. And we run by clocks. And clocks are more important than relationships are. You got to go by the clock. The kairos is the importance of the event is more important than the starting time and the closing time. The event is important. And so Hispanics are very event-oriented rather than clock-oriented. Again, we're talking about tendencies. We're not saying all Hispanics. Again, tendencies. We had a brother in our church in Ecuador. He was very clock conscious. He'd worked at a business in town for 20 years or something, and he punched a clock, and so he was very clock, you know. So there's a lot of variety there. But the tendency is, even though they in other countries, they'll have a job where they have to punch a time card, and if they get there late, they'll get their pay docked and so on. But when they're social events, they'll go back to their original culture. And so a wedding that's supposed to start at 10 o'clock, you go at 10 o'clock, there may not be anybody there yet at the church because they'll start getting ready by then. And, by 45 minutes after that, 11 o'clock, most of the people will probably be there and they'll probably be getting ready to start, get the thing on the road, you know. And so the event is, and these events are very important. And so it started late, so what? You know, it ends late, so that's the event. It's a great event. You know, just enjoy the event. Forget your clock. Forget your watch. Just enjoy the event. That's a tendency. Unique foods, of course. Every country has their unique foods, and everybody has the best ones, of course. And so one way to relate to people is to learn to eat their foods and learn to enjoy it. With God's help, you can actually learn to enjoy those things that you may not at the beginning, but you can learn to enjoy those foods. Among Hispanics, the importance of titles, very important. University studies. If you don't have a title, you're a nobody. You're a common laborer. You can't advance in life. Very different from our country. In our country, you can be a carpenter, and you can make significant money, and you can buy a house, and you can, you know, it's quite different in other countries. In other countries, carpenters are poor. Other countries, carpenters don't own their own houses, usually. They're on the poor scale. And so you need to have a degree. You have to have a title of some kind to advance life, to get ahead in life. And so parents will sacrifice so their children can study and get a degree and so on, because you've got to have the plaque to put on your wall if you're to be anybody in that culture. So those things will be very, very important for them. Construction workers, other countries, they'll have a suit of clothes because they get on the bus, and they'll have a suit of clothes that they'll wear to the job. They get the job, they'll change clothes, and they'll put on an older pair of pants and shirt and so on. When they get done at the end of the day, there'll be a barrel of water there. They'll take a shower and put on their other clothes again to get back on the bus to go home. Because to get on the bus with construction clothes on would be very embarrassing for tendency for Hispanics, because your presentation in public is very important. So, everyone has a title. Tío, primo, pastor, pastora, profesor, ingeniero, doctor. Everybody has a title, something. You always use a title when you talk to someone. And again, different countries use these things in different ways. The Dominicans are very, you go into Dominican stores there in New York City and they say, hey, hi, primo, how you doing? Everybody's a cousin. Never saw him before in my life, but they're primo. Pastor. The people would refer to the pastor as the pastor. Pastora. They would refer to the wife as the pastora, even though she's not a pastor, but she's the wife of the pastor, so she's the pastora. And it's just it's a title that you give to her. But titles are very important. Leadership in Latin America is generally the what they call a cacique style, the chief style. Typically, there'll be a strong man leading, and he's out front. You don't have a committee. They're not as accustomed to committees working together, a team of leaders. It's more one strong person who is leading out, as opposed to teamwork or committees. Again, talking about tendencies. Religious background. Good to learn about Catholicism. Want to relate to Hispanics? Learn about Catholicism. We doctrines have in common with us in Catholicism is they have a Christian worldview, so we have a lot in common with them to start out with. But then there's some differences that come along. Doctrines we have in common: God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit, Bible, inspired Word of God, Jesus' sinless life. He died on the cross. He rose on the third day. Well, they believe as we do in those, although they give very little emphasis to the resurrection. In Hispanic countries, there's huge parades, processions, everything on Good Friday, going to the cemetery, and they have statue of Jesus and all this. On Sunday, Resurrection Day, much less. There's not much importance given to that many times in Latin America. The Catholics will wear a crucifix, which is a cross with Jesus on it. And the cross with Jesus on it is very unfortunate, because it talks about his death, but again, doesn't talk about his resurrection and the power that's in the resurrection. So, again, talking about some of their background. Significant differences are that they have two sources of truth. They have the Bible, but they also have the traditions of the elders, which are the popes that are passed down. Catholic tradition would say that the pope, when he's on his royal throne, his royal seat, he cannot make any mistakes. What's the word I'm looking for? He's infallible. Infallible. When he's on his royal throne, he's infallible. What he says is doctrine. That God speaks to him, he speaks to the people. And so we have these two sources, the Bible and traditions. And so if there's any difference between the two, guess which one trumps the traditions of the elders. The customs handed down to them by the priests takes a higher priority than the Bible. So that's where they get into trouble, and that's where the differences come in. Practical terms, Mary is worshipped above Jesus, worship and prayer of the saints, transubstantiation, bread and wine actually becomes flesh and blood, purgatory, the works, salvation, and so on. Just a lot of differences. Very much a works salvation. Ask a Catholic if they can be saved, they will say there's no way of knowing. I think so, they'll say, because I don't kill anybody, I haven't killed anybody, I haven't robbed a bank. So, you know, I do good to my neighbors, I'm kind to my neighbors, and so I think that'll do it. So very much dependent on the works that they do. Spiritual indifference is very common among Hispanics. Kind of an idea, go ahead and sin, then confess it to the priest. You can confess it to the priest, be forgiven. He'll have you pray 10 rosaries and 50 Lord's prayers, and you're forgiven. That's understand Catholics don't deal a lot with guilt. With guilt, because they're told, you know, do this and this and this, and you're done. You're free. You go. But we say, well, did God forgive me or didn't God forgive me? We have a little more of that tendency among Christians.
What's a rosary?
Rosary is a ring of beads.
I don't know how you pray
that. And each bead has a certain prayer that goes with it. And so they're reminders is what they are. One bead, and they say the prayer, and they say the next prayer, and the other prayers. They learn a little prayer for each one of the beads. And so it's a reminder so they don't forget any of them. That's what good luck. They use it as a good luck charm as well. They carry it with them. Okay. Common joke. Of course, Catholics are baby baptism. Baptism of babies is the baby. They would say a baby needs to be baptized so that the baby will not be lost if it dies. And so they don't have the new birth experience. New birth experience is not taught generally among the Catholics. Common joke they have among Catholics, say, oh, he goes to church every time a pope dies. And so it's kind of, yeah. There are a lot of devout Catholics. And there are Catholics that are Christians. But the majority are not. The majority do not know. Majority of Hispanics are Catholic, yes. Big, huge majority. In different countries it varies, but 80 to 90% would be Catholic because they were baptized when they were babies. And whether they follow on with it or not, you know, would vary a lot with them. So sharing the gospel with them. Relationships, again, are extremely important. Make friends. Be friendly. Hispanics tend to be, as we said before, event-oriented. They like events. So it's important, if you're making a friendship with them, to remember special events, birthdays, anniversaries, 4th of July. Any excuse will work to have a party. Invite them over for a barbecue. Invite them over for something. They enjoy social events. It's a great way to build friendships with them. Don't have to serve the beer and so on if they would at their parties, but food and so on they would enjoy. So it's a great way to make friends with them. Have a barbecue, invite them over. Don't be surprised if they bring a friend or two along, because if they were getting ready to come to your place for the barbecue and Uncle Joe came over at that time with his family, well, they're not going to let him set. They're just going to bring him along. So you may have more people than you counted on, but that's the relationship. You can't say to Uncle Joe, "Joe, I'm leaving, so sorry, I can't see you today." No, that wouldn't work. You have to take Uncle Joe along with you. And so you typically have more people than you may have counted on for your party. But that's all right. That's the way it works. That's accepted. The friendship thing. Had a great opportunity just recently in New York. Took my car in to get it worked on. And during this last long-term orientation, we had a group of trainees there, and took her in to get worked on. Fan burned out, radiator. And so I got worked on. Mechanic. I take it this Hispanic mechanic. They're Hispanics. Once you've mailed the friendship, they'll do anything for you. You can take it in late at night. You can take it anytime, and they'll fix it for you. They'll do it for you. And so I always take it to him. Same guy, and he does a good job. And trust him. And so I took it over there, and so he called and said, "Hey, your car's ready." And I said, "What's the bad news?" And that was close to $500 to fix the thing. And I said, "Okay, I'll come over and pick it up." So he called about an hour later and said, "Hey, one of your buddies came and paid your bill." I said, "What?" "And one of your buddies came by and paid the bill." I said, "What? Which buddy? Who?" And now he said, "I shouldn't tell you." So I went over. Those things that the Lord does when you're living in that faith venture. But so I went over to pick it up, and I said, "Who was it? Was he tall? Was he, what was he like?" And so he showed me the bill. He showed me who it was. It's my friend, so he's going to keep it hidden. But that just left him. He started asking me questions about our religion and about, who we are, because that doesn't happen real often out there in the world. So it's a great opportunity to share with him the gospel and able to share with him and talk to him and so on. He was just amazed at that. I've taken a car back a couple times since that for some minor little things, and he doesn't charge me for that now. Ah, it's okay. Well, he don't charge you for that one. So again, the relationship is so important. Invite him over to watch the Jesus film. Films on marriage in Spanish. Invite him over and have them sit down, and then you can talk about it with them. You can give them the Jesus film, and they may watch it. They may not. Tendency was for they may not sit there for 2 hours to watch it in their home, but if they're in your home, they'll sit there and they'll watch it with you. So things like that are ways you can reach out to them. Good teachings on marriage, family, raising children. They're topics that are of much interest to them because children are growing up and they don't know what to do with them. Don't know how to discipline and so on. Offer them literature. Offer them a New Testament. Offer them a Bible if it's a serious interest. I wouldn't give them a Bible the first time probably. But a New Testament or a Gospel of John, have things to give to them. They'll probably read it. Or they'll lay it down somewhere and somebody else will pick it up and read it. Natural disasters are great opportunities to minister to them. We've been involved in rebuilding after earthquakes, after floods, that type of thing. And that type of practical love, which they don't get in the Catholic Church. And it speaks to them. And then you can share the gospel with them. And the Lord raised up a series of churches there in Ecuador as a result of some flooding and so on that happened there. So kind of be alert to those kind of things also. And those that are living in our areas, if they get sick, be sure to visit them. Something happens. Again, like I say, there's a birthday. Remember the birthdays. Remember the special events. That would be very meaningful to them. Hispanic church. Worship service should be Hispanic, not translated from English. Translation just doesn't cut it. You can learn some things from translation, but it's not the same. Services should be Hispanic services. Participative. They're very much into it. They're very much the amens and hallelujahs and tend to be more expressive than we are. And that was one thing that really hit me when I'd been in Latin America for 24 years and came back to the States. And I'd preach at their churches here. And everybody just sits there. There's no expression. There's no nothing. It's kind of like, are you there? Are you, It took me a little while to get used to that that lack of expression from people. They tend to be very expressive. And it's good. That's fun. They love music. Use of instruments, guitar, love singing with guitars and so on. It's a great way to minister to them. If you have a Bible study, if they come into your Sunday school, be sensitive to individuals because there are Hispanics that don't know how to read. And so if you go around the circle, everybody read a verse, for example, then they're in trouble. they don't know how to read. And for an adult to admit they don't know how to read, that's very, very embarrassing. You just don't do that, you know. So be very sensitive in a group setting what you ask of a person and what you don't ask of them. We have a friend and lives in New York. Been in New York for how many years? Can't read or write. She talks to my wife about the store. Go to the store and you buy this one can that has a green label on it. You know, it has the, because she can't read. And my wife's offered to help her to learn how to read, and she just hasn't quite been ready for that. But be sensitive to that when you have group settings. You don't want to embarrass people easily. They may know how to read very well. They may know how to read better than you do in Spanish, but they may not. I think it's important to have services more frequently. These are new Christians, probably not going to have any kind of worship at home. And so it's important to have more than just one service a week or two services a week, because they need to get into the Bible and get into to be praying and to be learning from the Bible. Most Catholics are not familiar with the Bible. Most Catholics won't know the New Testament, Old Testament, because up until a few years ago, they were taught that only the Pope can understand the Bible, so don't even try it. You'll get confused. Don't read it. Now they're encouraging more Bible reading and so on. But they're not familiar with the Bible. So you have to start not familiar with the Bible stories that we learn from childhood on up. They don't know those. They never heard them. So you have to kind of start with the ABCs of the Bible in helping them to understand. Here in the States, probably if you have Hispanics, you probably want to have a Sunday school in English for the children. One thing you learn, the children are coming, and children go to school. And so in school they learn English, and then after a few years, many children are not even familiar with enough Spanish. So it's really a unique situation that foreign families. We find all kinds of foreigners in New York City, and it's a great opportunity for ministering to them with tutoring, because children go to school, they get assignments, they come home. Parents can't read English. They don't understand these assignments. It's different than they did in their country. And so the parents can't help the children do their assignments. And so it's a great opportunity to offer assistance and build friendships, build relationships with them. And a lot of parents that want to learn English as well. In our area where we live, there's a lot of foreign people that want to learn English, because you can't get a good job unless you speak English, unless you can have enough English to relate to people. So these are ways that you can reach out to them and help them and build relationships with them, and then share the gospel with them, because they see your care and your love for them. One of the visions I have is for a Hispanic alliance, una alianza bíblica hispana. I'd like to see an alliance of Hispanic churches here in the States. That's one of the visions that I have, that God... A lot of people around in our churches that are relating to some Hispanics maybe have a little Hispanic service or something, but I'd like to see those build up, and I'd like to see a whole, because they're not going to be comfortable coming to our conventions. It's too different. It's too culturally different. They just, you know, they need to have their own alliance, Hispanic alliance. They'll get together and do things in their cultural way. Anyway, that's one of the visions that I have. Going past my time. What comments? What common questions do you have? I'd be so interested to hear what your experience has been in working with Hispanics and so on. We can take just a few minutes of into the break here to.
You mentioned a book earlier of the task force. Oh, no, the hot culture versus
foreign to familiar. Foreign to familiar is the name of the book. By Sarah Lanier, I think is the name. It's an excellent little book, very interesting. It won't take you more than an hour or two to read through it, and very, very helpful understanding other cultures.
Well, you certainly have helped me understand one of my school students.
Okay.
And as you were talking, I'm like, wow, that makes a lot of sense. If something on his mind, a relationship has been broken, he needs to talk about it right now, regardless of whether it's
okay.
It frustrates me. It's like, we'll talk about a break.
probably have a lot, you're surrounded by a lot of Hispanics probably there, aren't you? Yeah. Okay. Other comments? Questions? Okay. Well, let's take a minute just to pray and ask God to show us how, huh? Lord God, we thank you because we're living in a country that is becoming more and more multi-ethnic, with people coming from all over the world to the what they think is a pot of gold. But God, we believe that you're bringing them here so they can hear the gospel. But Lord, we need people who are going to be willing to learn the language, to get into the culture, to relate to them in their cultural ways, Lord God, that they can understand. Father, help us to do as Paul did, where he said, I became all things to all people that I might win some. Bless my brothers and sisters as they relate to Hispanics in their areas, God. And may your word go forth among Hispanics. And may there be many, many churches planted among Hispanics, Lord God, in our country. Because those people, Lord God, when they are converted, they can go back to their country. And they can take the gospel back there, places where we cannot go or are difficult to go to. So, Lord, awaken, open our eyes to see those around us. And give us grace and understanding to know how we can help them. Thank you in Jesus' name.